Ray LaForest?
Here.
Bob Letterer?
Here.
Lisa Davis?
Here.
David Adelson?
Here.
Alan Minsky? I'm back. Don White?
Here.
Lydia Brisson? No. Teresa Allen is here. Sandy Weinman?
Here.
Ken Freeland?
Here.
Deb Shapto?
Here.
Is there anyone here?
Ambrose Lane is here.
And Ambrose Lane. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. We're starting already half an hour behind the schedule, so I'm going to try and reclaim a portion of that half hour. The first thing on the proposed agenda is the approval of the agenda. But before I do that, I'd like to invite Yvonne Dooley and Rip Robbins to just make a couple of introductory remarks so people know who they are and what they're about.
Well, I'm here in the capacity of, as a representative of affiliates. Our bylaws provide for two seats on the board for affiliate representation, and we were recently elected to the slots. As has been previously mentioned, I'm from Atlanta. This is obviously my first meeting, and it's been a very educational experience, and I'm looking forward to learn more about the functionings of the board so that I can be a more active participant.
Yeah, Rip Robbins here. My station is a very small station, and we're in a small community. We have a large amount of programming for Latinos in our community, the most underserved audience in our area. There's no other media outlet other than commercial satellite cable for that community. We also have Native American programming. I believe that our mission is very similar to Pacifica's, and I look forward to working with Pacifica and the affiliates. As an affiliate rep, there's just about 100 affiliates now, and I certainly hope that we're able to bring their interests and concerns here to the board. And as Yvonne said, I've certainly learned a lot in just one day already, learning things that I can take back to my station, and I also hope that I can contribute to the betterment of the operations of Pacifica.
And so people are aware, what the board did was we suspended the rules to allow us to elect these gentlemen via a mail-in ballot after they were interviewed on a teleconference call. We had more than two candidates for the first time this year, so as not to have multiple candidates coming and not all of them being seated, we held that vote. It was an STV vote by mail-in ballot. Before I get to asking for a motion to approve the agenda, I just want to make a comment on decorum and time. We had a presentation from our HR director a little earlier today and some other presentations, and there were at various times instances where senses of frustration coming from the board actually upset the speakers and felt to them as a form of disrespect. And this is going to be a very long and demanding meeting, so it's just a request to everybody, keep the discussions to a minimum and try at all times to show the utmost respect, even for people who are expressing things you don't agree with, and I think that'll make everything go a lot better. So with that, the proposed draft agenda was sent around. It needs, via email and is in your board packet, it needs some adjustment, I suspect, but is there a motion to... Ambrose has moved to accept the agenda. Rosalinda seconded it.
Point of information?
Mary Berg did. Before I, before I ask for other amendments, I want to point out that it was explained to us how crucial tomorrow's march in support of immigrants' rights is. And we had a very full agenda and only had a one-hour time period for lunch, which was not enough to allow us to participate in that march. So I made adjustments to the proposed agenda, which are on your sheet that says revised proposed agenda, suggesting that we reduce the time for committee reports that was in the original by 15 minutes and reduce the dinner break to half an hour. And basically we'd be doing dinner afterwards at 9 p.m., so we just have a half-hour break. And that would give us 45 extra minutes, which would be enough time, I think, for us to be down with the marchers and possibly participate in a portion of the march and still get back here in time to conduct business. So that those adjustments are reflected here, and that's an amendment I'm proposing. So I had a point of information first. Go ahead, Ken.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question has to do with item number...
Could you please use the microphone?
Sorry.
They're not numbered.
That's why I can't find the number.
Sorry.
Okay.
Can't.
The management reports 615 to 645. In the management issues dialogue, 745 to 845. The understanding that we arrived at our March 10th meeting was that all general managers would be present, and I noticed that Dwayne Bradley from KPFT is not here, and I need to know why that is, and I have some follow-up questions.
Okay, as a point of order, we're in the process of approving the agenda, so I think that would be an appropriate question at another time, but not...
Mr. Chair, before I can...
Excuse me, I'll relinquish the floor as soon as I'm done speaking. So I don't think it's appropriate to deal with that question during the approval of the agenda.
Mr. Chair, I need the opportunity to have that question answered prior to knowing whether or not I can approve this agenda.
May I make a point of order, Mr. Chair?
Go ahead, Mary.
I would like the subject to stay with approving of the agenda. I do feel this is out of order for this time, this discussion, and I'd like some way for the chair to figure how we can move on and get back to approving the agenda.
Okay.
We're already short of time.
If I understand what Ken may be driving at, I think he's saying depending on the reason for it, he may have a motion that he wants placed at a different point in the agenda. And I'd like to resolve it by suggesting that we do any motion that you would make would actually go into new business would be in order at that time. There's nothing we are going to be able to do via any motion that would alter whatever circumstances.
Mr. Chair, we are debating now the question of whether to approve this agenda. My contention is at this point, knowing nothing other than what I have observed, that this agenda proposal is not the same one we agreed to in our March 10th conference call. And for that reason, I need to know why the discrepancy exists. That's
okay.
All.
Okay. I'm gonna rule that question is not part of the approval of the agenda.
I'm going to repeal your decision, Mr. Chair.
Okay, there's been an appeal to the decision of the chair. Can someone who remembers this better than I do in my current state remind me? The question is, shall the decision of the chair be upheld?
Correct.
Sustained,
correct
right.
Way to frame it? Okay.
Sustained.
So, question of the board, shall the decision of the chair be upheld?
Point of order?
Yes.
It requires a second, the appeal.
Does it?
Yes.
It does? Is there a second to the appeal to the ruling of the chair? Hearing none, it fails for lack of a second. Now, in terms of how we're going to handle this, perhaps we should do these seriatim. So, hold on a second. Pardon me. I am somewhat ill and very exhausted. Before we deal with any of this, because it's relevant to how we deal with this, I've passed around a motion on process as to how we will deal with the agenda, and I'd like to. No, it's in front of everybody. I did pass it around. It starts, it says, whereas, it's a one-pager.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Do you have new agendas here?
Yeah, they were passed around as well. Just before dinner.
It says revised proposed agenda.
I haven't.
Are there some?
It's in small 10-point type. It's a one-page. It says revised. Proposed agenda.
USA Today.
Who's missing the revised agenda?
I apologize for not being more. The motion I would like to put forward for the agenda before we go through it is that during approval of the agenda, the chair may close debate on an amendment to the agenda after entertaining two comments in favor and two opposed to such amendment, or fewer comments if there are fewer. So basically, with each amendment, we would hear two comments, pro and con, and then vote on that amendment to the agenda and then adopt the approved agenda. Is there any objection to proceeding in that way? Okay. Now, the first proposed revision. Yeah, here. The first proposed agenda. And here they are. How did I pass those out? We have gremlins. We have gremlins in the house. No, this is something different. Okay, so the proposal is that the adjustments of time reflected in the revised proposed agenda be approved to allow us to participate in the march be approved. Do we need to have debate on that?
I'd like to make a point of clarification.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was speaking with Don White, and the march does convene at 10, not 11. I think this is fine, but if we find the march is leaving, maybe we can be aware that we might need some flexibility around that time.
Okay. If there's
we'll stay in touch with the people at the
march. We will have somebody down there who will give us a sense of when we should be down there, and we can suspend the item before it and return to it when we return if necessary. And we'll also discuss later how we will participate in the march activities in a way that gets us back here on time. If there's no further discussion on this, is there any objection to these adjustments?
Repeat, please.
If we need to move down to the march during the CPB requirements and board composition and committee composition section, we will do that and take up those items when we return. Tomorrow morning I'll discuss, once we have better details on how the march is going to go, those logistics we'll discuss at the beginning of the day tomorrow morning. Okay, if there's no objection, that's adopted. Are there further amendments? I see. I'll start with Mary.
The only amendment I would make is that we can keep the time certain to an absolute minimum. You have a time certain on Sunday for public comment, and if there are more people to talk, normally as many people as want to talk. There probably won't be more, but if there are, can we take the time certain off of that so we don't have to waste the time? We spend a tremendous amount of time extending time.
What is your motion?
My motion is to remove the time certain on the all but the two, the programming issue and the intellectual property issue.
Okay, is there a second to remove time certain from the public comment sections? What we're saying is we would let that fall in the agenda where, you know, if we extended time on things, that it would be moved back rather than occurring at a time certain. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay, there's a second. Who would like to speak in favor of the motion?
Point of information.
Yes.
Could I please remind people that I would like copies of motions?
Yes. So there are two computers over there and printers. If people need to print their motion, type it up and print it, please either write it on yellow pads. There's also a stack of yellow pads. Or if you prefer, you can work at those stations and print copies of your motion, and please provide any are there motion slips?
Yes.
Ken has the pink motion slips.
They're
okay, is there a, would anybody like to speak against the motion to remove the time certain provision to public comment? Bob?
It's my understanding that the agenda is published on Pacifica's website, so presumably there's members of the public who are planning their weekend around the time that is allocated for public comment. So if they then arrive and say, sorry, it's an hour from now, that could create a lot of inconvenience. So I appreciate the spirit of what Mary's trying to do, but maybe it's some of the other items that should be removed from the time certain rather than the public comment.
Mr. Chair, may I speak to that? I may have made a mistake. What I meant to do was to remove the time limit of 45 minutes.
Oh, so you're saying it would still occur at time certain, but...
Yes, that's what I meant. If my motion was out of order, it doesn't do that, then my motion is out of...
I'm going to rule that out of order because you'd have to specify a time. We can't just float the time for an item.
It would begin at the time specified, but it would not have to end at 45 minutes. We would not have to continually... None of the times are... the ending times are... May I correct my motion? I want the times... the length of time for the items not to be orders of the day so that we don't spend time extending time.
To specify an amount of time that any agenda item. I'm going to rule that out of order.
But it's a suggested time.
If you want to make a motion now to give more time to public comment, that's in order. But to not give a time, it is not in order.
Okay. Well, all right, I guess.
Okay. Lydia.
Do we have a sense of how much new business is up under that hour that is allotted for new business? I have a bylaws amendment, but again, it's just introducing it with six directors, so not voting on it. But.
I believe that during the course of the meeting, we may find ourselves with a great deal of new business, and that section is not just to introduce it, but to debate it if it's
right.
Something that can be dispensed with. So an hour, I don't think.
You don't think an hour is realistic? Okay.
No, I think an hour is realistic. I think less than it would not be.
Okay.
Bob.
I'd like to make the same motion I made at the January meeting, which is that, and which was passed, at the chair's discretion. Public comment will be integrated into discussion of all substantive motions and thematic discussions.
I second it.
Can you repeat it, please?
Sure. At the chair's discretion, public comment will be integrated into discussion of all substantive motions and thematic discussions.
So is the intent that I can recognize members of the public on an item of business before us?
That's right.
Okay. Question whether you contemplate that reducing the time available for public comment or just simply being part of the board discussion, period.
I think that could be at the chair's discretion, but it could reduce the time so that if we're finding that, you know, we're running out of time as a result, that wouldn't affect the overall time.
Mr. Chairman.
Would you like to speak in favor or
yes.
Opposed?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I'd like to speak in favor and explain how it's done at the LSV at KPFK, we actually add another timekeeper who does nothing more than keep time on public comment so that when the chair calls on someone who wants to speak to an issue while it's still being discussed and pertinent just before a vote, the person who's timing public comment, if it's 30 minutes, they just time off that 30 minutes and keep the chair aware of how much public comment is left. Now, if the body wants to extend public comment beyond 30 minutes, that's fine, but that's the way we do it. So I support the motion. We'll vote for the motion.
Is there anybody opposed? Okay, hearing none, is there any objection to adopting the motion? Great, then we've adopted that. Any further amendments to the agenda? Ken, I'm sorry.
Under management report, management reports continued 5:45 to 6:15 p.m. on Saturday, 7 o'clock to 7:45 station Q&A, WPFW, KPFT, KPFA. It says management. I would request that be changed to reflect the decision of the March 10 meeting to say general managers.
Okay, so you'd like management to be replaced by general managers?
General managers. That was the agreement we had on March 10th.
Okay. Is there a second? Hearing none, that fails for lack of a second. Further amendments?
You didn't pass. What difference does it make?
Patty?
No.
You're just waving?
Yeah, I'm hi. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Okay, if there are no further amendments to the agenda, then is there any objection to our adopting the agenda as amended? Okay, seeing none, it's adopted. Okay, can you call the roll, Teresa? Actually, we don't have to call, pardon me, as I said, sick and tired. All those in favor of adopting the agenda as amended, please raise your hand. Wait. Our secretary in waiting.
I count 20.
Opposed? One opposed. Okay. Now there are on this 20 in favor, 20, one
yes,
opposed.
And one opposed.
Now, on this sheet that I sent around, there are two other issues. Now, I'd originally intended to offer these as special rules of order, but I don't believe that they were properly noticed. People may recall an exchange on email where I noted that I had not been explicit about this motion. So I'd like to introduce this as a motion on how we handle process at this meeting. And it is, I'm just going to read the resolved parts, one and two. We've already approved three. I'll read the whole thing. Whereas to speed the hand, no? All right. The following motions to either, here resolved, that following motions to either refer a pending motion to committee or to postpone a pending motion to a certain time, the chair may close debate and put the motion to refer or postpone to a vote after entertaining two comments in favor and two opposed to such motion, or fewer if there are fewer than two either in favor or opposed. The maker of the main motion being referred or postponed will receive priority in speaking in response to the motion to refer or postpone. And two, that following motions to postpone a pending motion indefinitely, the chair may close debate and put the motion to postpone indefinitely to a vote after entertaining three comments in favor and three opposed to such motion, or fewer if there are fewer than three either in favor or opposed. The maker of the main motion shall receive priority in speaking in response to the motion to refer or postpone. And just so people understand this, the motion to close debate takes two-thirds. Essentially, if this is done, this allows the chair, after receiving that much comment on those motions, to basically bring the question to a vote. So that is what I'm proposing be in force for this meeting. If it works well for us, we may adopt it as a special rule of order at some point. Is there anybody willing to second that proposal?
I second.
Point of information, Mr.
Yes.
Chairman. The maker of the motion is counted as one of the two?
Yes, but okay. And they receive priority, so obviously if their motion is being referred, they get to speak
point
to it if they choose to. Yes.
Mr. Chair, if you're going to introduce motions as the chair, you need to step down.
If you'd like me to, as...
May I make that motion, Mr. Chair? May I move the following motions to postpone a pending motion indefinitely? The chair may close debate. May I make that motion? Okay. Then I make the motion that following motions to postpone a pending motion indefinitely, the chair may close debate and put the motion to postpone indefinitely to a vote after entertaining three comments in favor and three opposed to such motion, or fewer comments if there are fewer than three either in favor or opposed. The maker of the main motion, being referred or postponed, shall receive priority in speaking in response to the motion to refer or postpone.
Second. Okay, it's been moved and seconded then. Debate.
Just a question.
The third one we've already moved. Don and then Ken.
I just want to know if the body can overrule this in a special case by voting to extend debate. Can this be overruled by the body?
Yeah, at any time you could move to extend on time.
Yeah, thank you.
But it takes two-thirds.
Yeah, it would take two-thirds. Ken?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to speak against your or somebody else's motion here. I believe that Robert's Rules makes it very clear that the right of a member of any assembly is to fully and fairly debate any motion before it. That right will be abrogated by every one of these proposals, particularly the need for an amendment which may change the entire character of a motion, as I've seen it already happen several times, and may need serious debate. But in any case, Robert's Rules creates a very high threshold for closing debate. It's two-thirds, and the reason for that is to protect the rights of at least one-third of this body to continue debate if they see the need. Mm-hmm. To allow the chair the sole prerogative to close debate, to give that decision to one person as opposed to two-thirds of the body, frankly flies in the face of the spirit of Robert's Rules as a parliamentary order.
Is there anybody who wishes to speak in favor? Sandy.
Given the agenda and the workload that we have, I think it's prudent to keep the meeting moving along, and certainly this motion would enable us to keep moving. So I'm speaking in favor. Thank you.
I'd like to speak against.
Go ahead, Ray.
Well, I'm not as impressed by Robert's Rule, but
I'm concerned that sometimes there are more than two positions, and if we keep doing it by allowing one side, one party for each, you know, on either side, that position will not be heard.
Anybody else wish to speak in favor?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to speak. I think on sometime on matters that are not substantive, it just gave the chair, an option to exercise. It doesn't say you shall, you must. It just gives them the option to exercise that option if they see there's a wasteful time and we could use it in a productive way. Other points have been already made, and there's no need to make it 20 times. So I think in order for us to run this business expediently, I think we should adopt this.
There's a point of information or information that the board should be aware of, which is in debate on a motion to refer or postpone, you can only talk to the motion to postpone to a time certain. You can only debate the merits of the postponement. When you debate to postpone indefinitely, the debate may go into the merits of the motion itself. I just wanted to clarify that.
Point of information.
Go ahead.
If this motion passes, this wouldn't preclude amendments from being made. Like, for instance, if someone moves to refer it to governance and someone says, I want to move to refer it instead to finance, that would be a separate debate. That there could be two pro and two con, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Any further debate?
Mr. Chair, can we call the question?
Okay. Is there, well, if there's no further debate, the question is called anyway, so let's not go through the time of voting. All those in favor of adopting this for this meeting, please raise your hand. Okay. All those opposed?
16.
Okay. The next thing is, pardon me, the approval of minutes, and Teresa, you've distributed the minutes.
Yes, I did.
Now, how many minutes do we have before us?
Mr. Chair, there are three sets of minutes. They are all stapled together. They are the minutes from February 20th of 06. That's five pages, the minutes of 3-1 of 06, and then the minutes of 3-10 of 06.
Oh.
Okay. Would anybody like to move one or more of those approvals? Ken?
Mr. Chair, I move that we postpone the approval of these minutes until sometime at least tomorrow. We can figure out where to put it on the agenda. I'm not sure where to
put it. It would go best to Sunday. There's a lot of open time Sunday, actually under unfinished business.
I have to assert a strong objection to minutes that are weeks old not being given to us until the moment we're required to vote on them. I think that's extremely wrong and unfair to anybody to require them to approve something in that short order of time. It's not right.
Would the secretary like to, as a matter of privilege, to respond to the comment before I ask for a second on the motion to postpone?
Yes, I think your point is very well taken, Mr. Freeland, and I will certainly do what I can to improve the situation. It was like going through Dante's Inferno, but no, I'm moving up in the levels there, and I hope to be better.
Ken, since you didn't specify a time, may I suggest the 1:45 to 3 p.m. section on unfinished business? Okay. Is there a second to postponing the approval of minutes? It's been a second. Would anybody like to speak to it?
I have a point of information.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair. I had sent in the minutes from the first the D.C. meeting, and but they're not printed out. I didn't realize I was supposed to print them out and bring them, but I sent them last week, I think.
I hope they can be printed tonight and circulated to the board tomorrow morning, and they'll be included on Sunday when we do that.
Okay, thank you.
If there's no further debate, is there any objection to the postponement to the unfinished business section on Sunday?
Point of information.
Go ahead.
Mary, didn't you say that you didn't have access to the audio for the Sunday portion of the meeting?
I did not have the audio until, Dave asked for the things, and I explained that I didn't have them, and then he got hold of John Sirius, John Almeida. Well, you did too, actually.
Yes,
everybody
okay.
did. Actually, three people got hold of John, and he posted the audio, and I sat up all night that night to get the audio, which was very good, as I had not, some pages, some whole things were missing, and what I would have sent would be quite faulty. So thanks to all who helped with that.
Okay. So if there's no objection, we'll delay the approval of minutes.
What time did we set the approval of minutes?
It'll be at 1:45 on Sunday.
And that passed without objection?
Is there any objection? Passed without objection. Okay, the last thing in this section is under special rules of order. Ken Freeland submitted a proposal for a special rule of order. I also submitted a proposition. I will yield the chair when talking about it. Mine has to do with a notice of special meetings by email rather than telephone. Ken, do you want to introduce your rule of order?
Resolved that notice of all PNB committee meetings, excluding LSV meeting, shall be CC'd by the committee secretary or chair to the full PNB when they are transmitted to the committee. Wow, I don't remember using that word. And that all directors be permitted to attend any such committee meetings, including executive sessions. Directors present on committee calls shall announce their presence to the chair and may be permitted to speak at the discretion of the committee chair, although directors may appeal. This isn't my proposal.
No, no, that isn't. That's a different proposal, I believe.
Whose is it?
That's mine, isn't it? Mine is on the same subject.
Oh, Mary, that's right.
That's
right.
Yeah, okay.
But this isn't mine.
I guess it's. It should be in the.
Who handed this out?
College.
Ask that if we do right. Resolutions for the rest of the meeting, can we put our names on them too? Because like I found a stack of these on just plopped here, and you know, we don't know whether they're to be distributed or whatever.
Okay.
So let's add our names at the bottom.
Lo siento mucho. Point of information, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. Did we determine that this is or is not from Ken Freeland?
That's not Ken Freeland's motion.
Oh, it looked like
it's the last page. It's the very last page.
Motion to affirm the right of all directors to be notified of and attend all meetings of all PNB committees. Whereas Article 8, Section 5 of our bylaws states that meetings of the PNB committees shall be governed by the provisions of Article 6, and whereas Article 6 of our bylaws affirms that all meetings of the board shall be open to all members of the board, and whereas Article 5, Section E, Part 1, charges directors with, quote, ensuring and facilitating the purposes of the foundation, end quote, therefore be it resolved that the PNB affirms the right of all directors to be given reasonable notice of all meetings of all PNB committees, subcommittees, and working groups, their right to attend any of these meetings, whether said meetings are open or closed to the public, and their right to address any item of business before these committees during any such meetings.
Is there a second? Hearing none, the item fails for lack of a second. Okay, the one that, and I will yield the chair for this, and I'm going to yield it to
I'm seconding. That motion?
Oh, you seconded
it? Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Then it's been seconded. It's open for debate. Bob.
Point of information, which are we dealing with this motion?
No.
Okay.
The last page of your board packet is the motion that Ken read.
Okay. Okay.
Can I go ahead?
Okay. Go ahead, Bob.
I move to postpone this till tomorrow morning during in conjunction with the Governance Committee report. The Governance Committee is going to be reporting out a motion that bears on this subject. It's a different motion, but it's on the same subject concerning the composition of committees. And I think rather than drive ourselves crazy and waste time by having two separate discussions, we should combine it all and resolve it then.
Is there a second?
I second.
It's been seconded. Who would like to speak in favor or opposed to the motion to postpone until the Governance Committee report? Lydia? Go ahead.
I think it makes sense to hear all sides.
Can you use the mic, please?
Okay. I think it makes sense to hear the various proposals because I'm still unclear as to who distributed this one. I mean, I think now there are two or three, and I would like to fully vet all three before I commit to voting.
Would anybody like to speak opposed? Ken?
Mr. Chair, I don't understand the relationship between a proposal on composition of committees and the question of whether or not directors have the right to attend committee meetings. Those are two entirely separate questions, and I cannot see the benefit. In fact, I think it would lend to confusion to try to consider these matters together. It's much more clear to consider the question of directors' right to attend committee meetings separately from the question of who is going to be on committees, which has nothing, in my opinion, to do with the former.
Speaking in favor of postponement?
Mr. Chair, would it be in order for me to make a substitute motion?
Yes.
I move that that motion be referred to a governance committee where I think it properly belongs.
Okay, there's a motion to refer it to governance. Is there a second?
Second.
Lydia has seconded it. Discussion, debate now on the motion to refer.
One information, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Only one motion or all motions related to this topic?
No. The motion that is before us at the moment, which was the Canfield.
That's the only one that's in order.
The other
refer.
Motions already are in governance.
Thank you.
Sandy?
I really had a point of information, and that was, I think Bob said there was something that would address this point, and you left us hanging. So it's difficult for me to make a determination unless I know how it addresses this point.
Sure. I don't have the I'm hoping, Lydia, as a convener, you have the copies of the motion that was passed by our committee last week.
No, I don't think that
microphone.
I don't think that our secretary has sent those out yet.
All right. Well, we'll try to work on that tonight after the meeting and get a copy, because it's got to be presented to the board tomorrow. But as I recall it, because it was my motion, it was that we activate the alternate clause in the bylaws. The bylaw says that the board can choose alternates to any committee, and so this motion attempted to define what that means. And the definition that we agreed on was that it would mean you'd have a separate election for an alternate for any signal area on any committee for which someone wants to stand for election as an alternate, and that person would then have a voice but no vote in the proceedings of all committees. So it overlaps with Ken's motion in that it gives a voice.
Okay. As convener of the governance, I must say, though, that's a very separate issue than what Ken is proposing. Did we ever find the author of this resolution?
That's mine.
Oh, that's Deb's. Oh, okay.
Ken?
I would like to reassert, as I was present for the governance committee meeting, I can assure everyone here that there's no relationship between the question of electing alternates to a committee, on the one hand, and assuring all directors of the right to attend all committee meetings on the other. There is no relationship whatsoever, and it's only going to confuse the issue to consider them together.
I want to clarify. The motion that they're suggesting is that you're giving the privilege of attendance and voice to a member elected as an alternate. Your motion gives that privilege to all members,
and so
it does it at all times, and so it does interact with the governance committee motion. If we were to approve your motion, then there would be a little point in granting it to somebody in particular.
That's true. Make the other point.
So I imagine that the debate that occurred in governance to construct this particular solution might bear on this question.
There was no debate.
Point
there
of order, none. Mr. Chair.
Mm-mm. Go ahead.
The motion on the table at the moment is the motion to refer Ken Freeland's motion to governance. I don't think the discussion of what the governance motions are or are not are on the agenda at this time, so
is it too late to withdraw my second?
No, I don't think it is, but the reason it is germane is because the referral will mean that this discussion won't take place here. And so if it properly belongs in concert with another discussion before us, members might choose to postpone to that time rather than to refer. So I do think that discussion is germane.
Oh.
Yes.
Are we discussing the latest amendment?
We're discussing whether to refer to governance.
Yeah, but I'd like to speak against that. I think this is an issue that is fairly simple. We've been told that there'll be proposal of it tomorrow. And I believe it is not absolutely not necessary to refer it to that committee.
Okay.
Delay than necessary.
I'm gonna exercise the right given to me to call the question of referral to a vote right now.
I don't think there's been two pro and two con, Mr. Chair, to that question.
Okay. You know what? I'm not certain enough. I know we've heard more than four people, but are you speaking pro or con?
I'm speaking con.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I haven't spoken at all to this question. there's already been an instance where board members have been denied an opportunity to participate in a closed session of the coordinating committee. That proves that we really need to act on this soon, because there are ongoing problems if we don't clarify whether or not board members have the right to attend all meetings. Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I'm sorry. And governance, referring to governance committee, would delay that for a period of time.
Okay. Go ahead. Lydia, you're in pro or con? The motion to refer.
Con, no.
You're opposed to the motion to refer. Is there any other comments in favor of the motion to refer? I believe we've heard two already, con, so I'm going to call to a vote. All those opposed, all those in favor of referring the Freeland motion to governance, please raise your hand. All those opposed?
Could you please do that on the microphone?
3, 4, 13, no.
Okay. Now, at the point at which that was made, we'd heard one pro and one con on the motion to postpone till the governance committee meeting tomorrow, the discussion of this item. The governance committee report. So may we hear one more pro and one more con on the motion to postpone till tomorrow? Are you speaking pro or con, Mary?
I will speak pro.
Go ahead.
And then I hope, if there's no one, I hope we could speedily vote on it. I think that it makes good sense to do that so that all those motions are together. I think we should postpone until the governance committee report so that we can get on with the business we have at hand tonight, and there will be a coherence to what goes on in the governance report.
Is there anybody who would like to speak against postponing till tomorrow?
Who hasn't spoken?
Okay, seeing none, then I'm just going to call the vote on the motion to postpone this item till the governance committee, to be considered during the governance committee report tomorrow. All those in favor of postponing till tomorrow, raise your hand, please. All those opposed?
One no.
One no.
14, yes. One no.
14, yes. One no. Is that correct, Madam Secretary?
Okay, and I'm now going to relinquish the chair for this second special rule of order to Sarv, who is our vice chair, and I'll read it, if I may. The purpose of this motion is that the bylaws require telephoning everybody for every one of our special meetings, and our special meetings are our monthly teleconference meeting, so it requires a phone tree to call everybody on the board. And so what this motion will do is it will allow email notice in a single notice rather than having to have the foundation secretary or others call everybody on the board for every special meeting of the board. So it's resolved that the PMB adopt a special rule of order allowing notice of special meetings to board members via email rather than by telephonic notice. This rule shall supersede the provision of Article 6, Section 4 of the Pacifica Bylaws, which indicates the special meetings shall require only 7 days advance notice, but shall also require telephonic notice by leaving a message at the telephone number given to the Foundation Secretary for such notice by each director, and shall specify the purpose of the meeting. The emailed notice of meeting shall specify the date, time, and purpose of this meeting. So that's what I'm proposing we adopt. Is there a second?
I second.
All right, motion is made and seconded. Anybody want to? Let's take two in favor and two against. And who's in favor? Don? Okay, go ahead, Don.
Well, I am going to speak in favor of this. I believe there are other ways also that members of the board can access this information, like Pacifica.org, I believe, and there are a lot of other ways. And I think email is an effective way to do it, so I'm supporting it.
All right. Con? Lorena? You?
I'm against this motion.
Okay.
Because sometimes some of us travel quite a bit. I don't have a laptop, and I don't always get to my emails. And also computers crash. Computers are not as reliable as telephones.
All right. Another one in favor? Rosalinda, you want in favor? Who's want to speak in favor? Okay, go ahead, Teresa.
I'd like to speak in favor. I know that emails come fast and furious, but I think that actually because it would mean a lot of, it could be a pretty heavy phone bill to be calling everyone. I could be leaving messages on recorders for people that are not responded to, so I really won't know if people get notified of the meetings anyway. I would just suggest that people buddy up and say, remind me of meetings. And I've been pretty effective with that. And actually, it kind of bonds you with your people and your sister station to help each other. So I think it's a pretty good system that we have right now with email.
All right. Another one for Khan.
I have an amendment.
You can't do
just
that.
All right. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I would move to amend at the end of the first sentence where it says special rule of order allowing notice of special meetings to board members via email rather than by telephonic notice, and then add the phrase to those directors who have asked for notification by that method. So that would free the chair from the responsibility to have to call all 21 people, but allow those who've said, I'm fine with it, I'm glued to my computer, I'll always get email, that they could be notified that way. It's second. So leave it to their choice.
Second.
Okay. I second.
All right.
Point
of the motion.
Order. It needs
Mary?
The word, I think
Mary?
You would have to say except
Mary?
For those.
Mary? What is it? You have point of order, point of information? What
point
is
of order.
What's the point of order?
I think that you need the word except
that's not
to those.
That's not a point of order.
Because it makes no sense otherwise. So.
That's not a point of
not
order,
a meaningful
Mary.
Sentence.
That's not a point of order. All right. Bob's motion was seconded by who? Dave?
Yeah.
Okay.
Point of order.
Now we'll take two.
Point of order.
Yes, point of order.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I believe on the special rules of order, I believe this motion here doesn't speak to the rules of order for this meeting today or this weekend. So I'd just like to know why we're pursuing these motions at this time rather than in new business.
I can answer the question.
Just one second. Go ahead.
Because there were special rules of order that did speak to this issue. I mean, to how we did things. The motion on process was originally intended as a special rule of order, so I lumped them all here. But I would have no objection to waiting until Sunday.
Thank you.
All right. So we'll take two in favor and two con. So we already got one here on the amendment. Who's against the amendment?
Substitute amendment.
Sorry. All right. What's your substitute amendment? Go ahead.
I move that after that the PNB adopt a special rule of order allowing notice of special meetings to board members via email confirmed by a recipient rather than by telephonic notice. The reason for this, if I may, I'd like to go ahead and debate it once when you give me approval. The reason for this amendment, which I think would
Ken, you made the motion, and when we come to, if it gets accepted and seconded,
right,
then we'll discuss it.
Okay.
All right. Any second to the motion?
A point of information.
I'll second it.
You second?
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead, Ken.
The motion would change the first sentence to read that the PNB adopt a special rule of order allowing notice of special meetings to board members via email confirmed by recipient rather than by telephonic notice. In other words, one to which the recipient had replied confirming receipt of the email.
Point of information?
Because that way any director that did not receive the email or did not confirm your email would still get telephoned. Okay, so there would be a backup.
So you moved that.
Point of information.
All right.
I believe I've spoken to the fact that I didn't believe that this would apply to this weekend's meeting and that the maker of the motion agreed that he would consider it for new business. So shall we move on that?
He was, but at the time, no, it was No motion was made, and nobody postponed. So I just
want of information, Mr. Chair.
Please keep your hands down, and I'll just go ahead. Ken, you moved your motion.
I moved it. I'm waiting for a second.
You waiting for it.
Point of information.
Wait. Oh, you seconded?
Point of information.
Okay, go ahead.
This changes our bylaws. What do our bylaws say about changing a provision of the bylaws?
I can't.
And if I don't have mine with me here, I have them up in my room. But if someone has a copy of their bylaws here, I want to read what the rules say we can and cannot do to change the bylaws.
Okay, Ambrose, just one second here. The maker of the motion here, he can.
Yeah, so Robert's rule says that things that are in the bylaws that are in the form of a rule of order.
I'm not talking about Robert's. I'm saying, what does our bylaws say?
Our bylaws says that wherever it's silent on the process, Robert's applies. And Robert says that you can pass special rules of order.
I'm looking at the bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
This is the category of these.
Those are real ones.
It says amendments may be proposed by 1/6 directors, a majority vote of the delegates of each of two radio stations, or a petition signed by at least 1% of all members, which petition to be considered proposed must be delivered to the foundation secretary. Then it.
I understand. This does not change our bylaws. This
well, does.
No, it doesn't. It is a special rule of order that takes precedence over
the bylaws. Is written.
Right. Robert
that
speaks.
That is a change in the bylaws.
No, Robert says that you can pass special rules.
Our bylaws. What are our bylaws?
All right. So what I'll have to do is,
Mr. Chairman, I'd be allowed to complete my point.
Sure. Go ahead.
Thank you. Robert says that special rules of order may be passed that contradict the bylaws if they are properly in the form of a rule of order. And this is the notice requirement is in the form of a rule of order. And therefore, while the special rule is in effect, and until and unless it's rescinded, it would take precedence over the bylaw. It is not changing the text of the bylaw. So any publication of the bylaw would not substitute this language. What would be substituted is practice.
All right. Since there's a lot of dispute here, just one second, hold on, about regarding the legality of changing the bylaws, and we do not have a Robert's Rule or bylaws expert here, I think what we'll do is I'll make a ruling that we'll pick this up tomorrow after clarification of this particular item, whether it is possible to change the bylaws or apply the special order as so. What I'll do is I'll make a ruling that we take the subject up tomorrow, unless you will have to get a time. And in the meantime, we can look into what we can do.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I move that we postpone until Sunday in unfinished business.
I second.
All right. Thank you
very
much.
We can talk about it between now and then.
Thank you very much. So we'll postpone it till Sunday. And so any objections to postponing it till Sunday, this item? Hearing none, this item is postponed till Sunday.
New business.
Under new business. Yeah.
Unfinished business.
Under whatever. Unfinished business, whatever. Okay, so we're back to
approval of the agenda.
That's the end of the item. So
that's the end of the item, so I give the chair.
Okay, so the next item is the opening presentation and discussion by Brian DeShazer of the Pacifica Radio Archives. We're starting 25 minutes late, so you will have until 8:25 to give your presentation.
This is the one I'll use. So we just want to get the movie screen up, and we'll get a DVD going. We'll spend about a half an hour on a film and another PowerPoint presentation, which has a lot of audio and visuals. So I think some requests have been made that you wanted to hear some audio, so we'll make it exciting and tell you about what we've done and where we're going and what projects are coming up in the next quarter.
Oh, and also you board directors have to
get out of the way of progress.
What do we have to do? Why do we have to move? Why do we have to take the
it's going to be
oh, those guys.
I guess I'd take a moment and formally welcome everybody here to Los Angeles on behalf of KPFK and the Pacifica Radio Archives. It's really great to have everybody here and together in one room. And actually, can we do the lights for the front part? I think it's over one more. That's the one. Thanks.